an alien starship with an insatiable curiosity about Earth's science fiction and fantasy trivia. The crew, two hapless astronauts who have spent their lives immersed in strange new worlds of the imagination. Now, Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden roam the universe, trying to find the way home, seeking to define the A to Z of SFF.
Star Trek, it's great, isn't it? You've got all the boldly going where no man has gone before, and the swoosh and that sexy Spock character. But there's so many different kinds of Star Trek, isn't there? So let's talk about the one where there wasn't so much swooshing. And I like Deep Space Nine. I think that's a really good example, isn't it? So let's talk about Deep Space Nine. But let's talk about the one where Deep Space Nine visited the Enterprise. That's a really good episode, isn't it? So let's do that. Why don't we talk about Trials and Tribulations? Let's talk about that, shall we?
Yes, let's talk about that, shall we?
Yeah. So it's a very fine example of the series. Of DS9 in general and Star Trek in particular, actually, or the other way around, if you like. It's a heck of an episode, actually, is Trials and Tribulations. It's in one sense, I suppose you could say it's fan service writ very, very large indeed, in that you get the crew of one Star Trek series interacting or not interacting so much with the crew of another series, but at the same time there's a load of fun stuff going on and sort of inter-series commentary and certain questions asked about certain aspects of the series. There's all sorts there.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly a very fun watch, and it's very clever in terms of how they've knitted, you know, the two things together. Or actually, there's more than two episodes they've used, isn't it? But it works very well. The question is whether there is actually much more beyond that sort of sleek, sort of fun meta narrative thing.
Well, yes, that is a question to be asked. But let's sort of talk about what inspired it to be brought about in the first place. I guess it was created as part of Star Trek's 20th anniversary, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would go back and revisit their sort of greatest hits.
Mm-hmm, definitely, and so I think that there are a few different ideas knocking around. There was the idea of going back to the gangster world that Kirk originally visited back in I can't quite remember the name of the episode, but that's that kind of thing. But I think that the decision was made to go to do something a little bit more fun. So the notion was to revisit everyone's most beloved, constantly replicating fuzzy balls of fuzzy, the Tribbles.
You mean the nemesis of the Klingon race?
Those are the ones.
Yes. I mean, The Trouble with Tribbles, the original series episode, is just, yeah, it's just a joy, isn't it? So, just, you know, coming back to it through the sort of lens of the Deep Space Nine crew, sort of, It does, you know, it provides this sort of, you know, commentary on the way they did things then, and at the same time, it's just an excuse, isn't it, for the writers to sort of have a fanboy squee about, oh my god, look, can you imagine being in the same room with Captain Kirk? That'd be awesome. Well,
Yeah, I think one of the fun things about it is the fact that, that kind of fanboy squee goes through to the crew of the Defiant as well. You know, they're spending the whole episode sort of wandering around going, oh, yeah, look at the Enterprise, isn't it? Oh, it's so crowded, but oh, look, there's sexy Spock over there. And, I do like these medical tricorders and that kind of stuff. There's so much fun had with the set dressing and the props and the costumes from the original series.
Yeah. I mean, and just sort of hearing those sound effects of the doors and the tricorder and the medical tricorder and stuff like that, again, it's just sort of, it's just so evocative, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's done with an awful lot of love and care and attention to detail as well. You know, the way the production designer has effectively recreated bits of the old Star Trek sets, the old Enterprise sets, and the sets of Space Station K7 as well. The way the costumes just look absolutely impeccable. The whole thing is just done with so much love, down to the fact that, I mean, bear in mind, we are talking fairly close to being pre-CG era. So the models of the Enterprise and K7 are actually models. You know, they're not built from CG, so again, a lot of love and care taken to make those look as beautiful as possible.
Well, that sort of depends which version you watch, doesn't it? Because it's sort of, post the sort of cleaning up of all the original series episodes, then obviously they used all they redid all those model shots and made them into the sort of, CGI versions.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure, the most, I don't know about at the time, when I watched it sort of the first time, but certainly when I watched it most recently, the Enterprise shots were updated versions. It felt more of a piece, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do see what you mean. Yeah, I didn't realise that. The version I saw, it did look very impressive, certainly, but whether that was necessarily the case that the version I saw was the version with the models or the sort of cleaned up version, I'm not sure now.
Hey, but that's how effects should work, right? You shouldn't be able to tell.
No, exactly. And it's interesting that episode in particular was kind of the spark that lit the flame that got the original series back into the whole restoration thing as well. So from that, the huge project started to effectively remaster the whole series, going back to the original NEGs for the action, but actually remaking all the effects as well. So a lot of that kind of work is directly attributable back to Trials and Tribulations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes me think that it did have the sort of CG version of those Enterprise shots then, in order to make it marry better. And maybe that was the genesis then. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Perhaps we should speak a little bit about the plot, such as it is. Hmm. I mean, we start off and we've got this framing device of two investigators from the Department of Temporal Investigations arriving at Deep Space Nine to investigate a possible, time crime.
Mm-hmm.
and interviewing Captain Sisko and they're basically set up, these two guys, as just being completely humorless bureaucrats, who are constantly tired of all the jokes that, like, ah, you boys from Temporal Investigations are always on time and stuff like that. How they didn't laugh.
I do kind of dig that, though, this whole sort of completely deadpan, but kind of just, literally being in, working with time travel means you literally have seen it all before. And there is this quite endearing world weariness about them as well. And the whole fact that, obviously Sisko and co are having so much fun, zipping back in time and doing this stuff, and just like, yeah, but it's dangerous, but you don't really care, do you? And they've seen it all before, so that kind of hangdog expression that they're both wearing all the way through it really works, actually. It does add to the humor.
It does, and there's all this sort of commenting on you know, previous sort of time travel types of stories, right? You know, it's like all this stuff. You're not going to maintain some sort of causal loop, are you? We hate those and things like that. I think it does work well because it's sort of, it's sort of, you know, they are the kind of antagonists of the story. I mean, there is the, you know, there is the villain that they go back in time to try and stop, right? But it's almost like the antagonists are the investigators who basically want to stop our fun, you know, because we, you know, ultimately we're the audience, right? We want to see the crew of Deep Space Nine interact with the Enterprise crew and have that and have the moment where Sisko meets Kirk and stuff like that, right? whereas they're very much the you know, don't interfere, don't cross the streams, don't, you know, basically don't do anything which might change the sort of the time streams. So
I mean, that whole thing's done with a very, very light touch as well. You know, even though they do effectively interact with the Enterprise crew, it's kind of done in a way that's kind of like, oh, well, you know, whatever. It's done with a nod and a wink. You know, you get that whole thing about Dr. Bashir potentially being his own great granddad when a nurse in the elevator sort of flirts with him. That kind of thing works really rather well.
Yeah, it does. And you know, and there are obviously the sort of signature moments, like you know, O'Brien getting sort of interrogated by Kirk after a fight on the station. We should say that's the station in the past, the space station that the Enterprise is orbiting, rather than Deep Space Nine. So.
Yeah, exactly. So talk a little bit more about the plot. Basically, the idea is that the Klingon agent in The Trouble with Tribbles, who was the villain of the original Troubles of Tribbles, comes back 100 years later, is being transported away by the Deep Space Nine crew, and somehow and finds a Bajoran orb of time, which allows him to go back in time, bringing the crew of the Defiant with him. And his plan is to basically kill Kirk and become a hero of the Klingon Empire by changing time forever, getting rid of one of the Klingon Empire's greatest villains, you know, apart from Tribbles, obviously, who are the worst thing for Klingons ever. Yeah. I think the thing that kind of shows you just what sort of tone the whole episode is taking is the method by which this Klingon agent decides to assassinate Kirk. He's not going to shoot him or anything like that. What he does is he puts a bomb in a Tribble. And assumes that the Tribble is going to be where Kirk is at a given moment in time.
He was there before, and he knows that he got busted after Kirk opened up the grain store and found it was full of Tribbles. Or rice store, whatever the food store. So he knows that Kirk will go down to the station and will discover the Tribbles there. So, yeah. But the Defiant crew also figure this out.
They do. So it becomes a race against time to actually find that one ticking bomb in amongst the 1,500,000 and however many Tribbles it is on the station at that one given time. So yeah, it's quite a neat little idea. The fact you've got that, you know, where would you hide a bomb? You'd hide it in a place where it's almost impossible to find, but they do. And well, spoilers, yes, they do. But
it's like Edgar Allan Poe's The Purloined Letter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where do you hide a Tribble in amongst a load of other Tribbles?
Of course you do.
Yes.
The whole point to Trials and Tribulations is it's just so full of these fun little moments like that. And of course, it kind of deals starts to deal with the whole Klingon question as well, you know, albeit with again this light touch, in that O'Brien and Bashir ask why the Klingons in K7 100 years ago look so different to Worf, and it's just his embarrassment and discomfort trying to deal with that whole thing that is just such a lovely moment.
It is, yeah. It basically, we do not speak of it. Yeah, there's clearly a story there, but it's obviously a very embarrassing one that they don't like to talk about with outsiders.
Hmm.
And that's fine, you know. But it's nice that they address it. I also like Dax's kind of view of the whole adventure, because of course the alien sort of parasite that her body's host to was alive at that time. So she's sort of experiencing it through this sort of lens of nostalgia for something she lived through, which again makes her like some of the audience at the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Dax is great in this. You know, the glee in her initially showing off the obligatory Starfleet miniskirt uniform and just, you know, just crushing hard on Spock and yeah, all that kind of stuff. Just enormous fun being had by everyone in the crew and throughout, I think. I was saying earlier on about the love and care and attention that's being put into this episode, and it's true throughout. You know, I think everyone's really on the top of their game in this episode.
Yeah, everyone gets a nice moment, don't they? Which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's talk about that end scene, shall we?
It's a bit of a killer twist, really, isn't it? Where you get everything seems to be tied up with a neat little bow, and the temporal agents walk away, if not happy, then at least satisfied that things haven't changed,
or they're about to. and he's going, there was just one more thing.
I thought the impression was that they'd actually left it at that point, and it was kind of like, well, you didn't tell them, did you? No, it's okay, fine, then we'll try and figure this out by ourselves. And then you get the big back from the main station concourse, which is, of course, absolutely full of tribbles.
Oh, no, that I wasn't talking about that one, actually. I was talking about the Sisko meets Kirk scene.
Oh, right, okay, that's not necessarily...
Sorry, no, you're right, that's not the final scene. The final scene is the reveal that the triple infestation has spread.
Hmm. But no, the Kirk and Sisko scene is just a lovely little nod as well. And, you know, just have it... It's kind of weird, because normally it's like when Kirk does the duty roster, there's some attractive young ensign again in the miniskirt sort of handing over the Starfleet version of the iPad for him to sign, but in this case it's Sisko, and there's just that lovely little moment where he sort of just says, you know, it's been an honor to serve with you.
It is a lovely moment, and it's weird because it kind of shouldn't work, because I believe the original series material they're using there is from Mirror Mirror, and
yes,
in it the sort of the lieutenant that Kirk is speaking to is a female lieutenant. Kirk comes across a lot warmer than he would do, I think, if normally, you know, almost flirtatious. So there's a bit of a bromance sort of moment going on because of this sort of replacement with Sisko. But it actually comes across as rather sweet, and you know, yeah. So it's really nice, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And again, it's just sort of it just harkens back to the whole thing where the crew of DS9 and pretty much everyone in that part of the Star Trek chronology are sort of viewing the crew of the Enterprise as kind of the greatest generation in a way, you know, as the brightest and best. They are heroes, and you know, they're kind of treated as such, and yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is supposed to be a celebratory episode. It's supposed to show off Trek at its best. And I genuinely think that's what Trials and Tribulations does. It's got a really great script to it. It's got great performances, knockout effects. I mean, it was the most expensive Star Trek episode of its time. I think it cost $3 million to make. So, you know, it's not something that was kind of tossed off as what you call kind of just a nod to the fans. It was, they went in full bore, and I think they really succeeded.
Yeah, and we can both, I think we can be glad that they didn't do this as a, let's go to the holodeck and, you know, and go to the holodeck program of you can be on the Enterprise. These are the actual people, you know, so it's a nice tale. It does feel a little bit sort of light and frothy, but you know what? Sometimes that's what you want from your Trek.
No, absolutely right. Light and frothy just suits the mood perfectly. And it's a joy, you know, Deep Space Nine does have a reputation as being a very, very dark show sometimes, and it does kind of dig into the whole sort of darker bit part of the whole Federation thing. But in this case, what you get is just great fun, really well told, fantastic. You know, one of the best of the Trek episodes in this reviewer's humble opinion.
Yeah, I think Deep Space Nine sometimes gets a little bit unjustly overlooked because there are some really, really strong episodes in there. And this is one of them.
Mm, absolutely. So, Curiosity, are you happy with that? Do you think we've nailed Star Trek DS9's Trials and Tribulations?
Oh, guys, thank you so much. Yes, you're absolutely right. What a great episode that is. And we love the tribbles, and we love all the fun stuff. And they've even got a proper fight in the cantina, and the whole thing's just so much fun, isn't it? It's really, really good. But you know what? I think I've got an urge to stroke a tribble. I don't know about you guys, but I've got an urge to stroke a tribble. So I know exactly where the planet of tribbles is, and I think we're going to go there right now. Okay, hold on to your hats. Here we go. Right, see you later, guys. Bye!
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickens and Clive Ashenden, with additional voice talents of Maria Thomas. Music and editing are by Dalil Hallo at the Creation Station of Cavisham, all the waveform you can eat. Do you want to know more? Search for the A to Z of SFF on iTunes, Facebook and Twitter, or check out www.theatozofsff.com.